Our Heavenly Father, Lord, our great God, we do praise You this morning that You are God, that You are the God of heaven and earth, that You are the God of night and day, and that there is none beside You, Lord. We praise You, O Lord Jehovah, that You are the one true and only living God. And we praise You, Lord, that You are great and almighty, all glorious, all holy, all righteous. And Lord, You are so merciful. You are so gracious. For this morning, Lord, we have Your word before us. This morning, Lord, we have the revelation of Yourself. Though the heavens cannot contain You, Lord, and though our minds cannot comprehend You, You have condescended, Lord, to give us, Lord, a revelation of Yourself through Your word. So we pray, Lord, that You would be merciful and gracious. And this day, Lord, You would bring that revelation into our lives, Lord, that You would bring it, Lord, before our eyes, that we may know You more and more as You have revealed Yourself to be in Your word. For those who do not know You, Lord, here and abroad, we pray that even today, according to Your will, might be the day when You would reveal Yourself in almighty power to them. Lord, we praise You that You are not passive in salvation, though man proclaims that You are. You are not passive, but You are active. And even today, Lord, according to Your will, You will save sinners. You, Lord, in almighty power, will quicken the dead unto life. You, Lord, will find them and quicken them and bring them actively unto Yourself. So we pray, Lord, we thank You for this, for we realize Your Scripture reveals to us the truth that we are unable, for we are dead in and of ourselves. We praise You that You are life. Lord, we pray that You, according to Your will and through the power of Your Spirit, even today, might impart life unto the saving of the soul. Might impart light, Lord, unto the encouragement and strengthening of Your people and to the edification of Your church. Lord, might You this morning lift up Your Son that He would have the rightful place of preeminence that He is to have in this assembly. And we beg these things, Lord, for Your great name's sake and in the name and on the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us turn together in God's Word to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want us to begin reading in verse 12. And we'll read till the end of the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We begin reading in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command thee this day for thy good? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven, for multitude. The title of this morning's message comes from verse 17. God of gods. God of gods. The subject I want us to consider this morning is really an unsearchable, unapproachable study. It is the study of the holiness of God. As we approach this subject, though, I want us all to understand this morning that the God we will be looking at and referring to as God, He is the God, Jehovah. Now, I know we live in a generic world where faith is spoken of in generic terms. This week we've heard of that people of faith. And God Himself is spoken of in generic terms. We live in a day where any God will do as long as we are sincere in our beliefs. But let us be reminded of what God's Word says in Ephesians 4:5. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is this one God, and He is the Lord, the God Jehovah. He is Elohim. He is Yah or Yahweh, and He is named by so many other names in His Word that He names Himself. But nevertheless, there is one God, and there is one Lord. In verse 17, we have read that the Lord your God is God. That means it says that Jehovah, your God, is God of gods. Let's hear that again. Jehovah is God of gods. If this were not the case, we could not preach this message this morning, because God would not be holy. God would not be holy. You see, this what it says here, the God of gods, this is what the essence of holiness is. Oftentimes, I think we confuse it with God's righteousness. We confuse His holiness with His righteousness. That's okay, because God's righteousness is holy, and He is wholly righteous. But really, holiness means set apart. It means to be apart from, or to be other, to be separated, to be sacred. For example, when God made the Sabbath day and called it holy, He meant that it was to be apart from. It was to be separated from the other 6 days that He had created. Listen to God speaking to His chosen people in Leviticus 20:26. He says, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." You see, He set them apart. He separated them. He made them holy. So here also, where God says that He is holy, He is telling them and us that He is apart from. He is separated. He is other. He is other. So this morning in our text, there are some things here about God and about His holiness I want us to consider together. I want us to see just 7 of those things. There are more here in this passage, but just 7 for the sake of time this morning. First, God is holy in His being. Here, once again, we read the words, Jehovah is God of gods. He is God of gods. Oh, may the Lord impress upon us what that means this morning, that He is God of gods. That means there is no other being, there is no other God like Him. He is apart from, He is separated, He is other. Jehovah is other. Think about the name He gave to Moses to tell the children of Israel who He was. He said, Moses, you tell them that I am sent you. You tell them that I am. See, I don't want to tell you, that says a lot about the holiness of God. I am. That name tells us that He is eternal. Listen, there was a time when there was no people. There was a time when there was no earth, when there was no heaven, when there was no universe. There was a time when there was no Allah and no Muhammad, and there was no Buddha. There was no dead and dumb idols like these. There was a time even when there was no time. But there was never a time when there was not God. There was never a time when Jehovah was not. There never will be a time when there will be not Him, the Lord Jehovah. Heaven and earth, He said, will pass away. But we read this morning that His Word will never pass away. Why? Because it's His Word, and He is eternal, and there never will be a time when He is not. Matter of fact, it tells us that He's gonna fold the earth up like a garment. That's how great and glorious God is. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, He's eternal both ways, forward and backward. He is eternal. That name I Am tells us that God is eternal, and that also that He is everywhere. He said, tell them I Am. He is I Am. That psalm that we sing a lot, Psalm 139, verse 7, it says, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. The Bible tells us that His eyes are upon the wicked all the time. He is everywhere. In His holy being, God, the Lord Jehovah, He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. And He alone is omnipresent. You know, sometimes I think we think of Satan like this, but that's not true. Let's not give him this place. He is not everywhere at one time. He is a great creature, but He's not the Creator like the Lord Jesus Christ. God alone is everywhere. God alone is eternal. Also, we see His holy being in His immensity. Remember when David wanted to build the temple and God said, how will you build me a house, David? He is so immense that the heavens cannot contain Him. And he pictured the earth as His footstool. Listen, it says, He said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? I want to tell you, there is no place in heaven today for two gods. The God of God dwelleth in the heavens. And the psalmist said, he was talking about those pagan gods, them other false gods, and he said, our God dwelleth in the heavens, and He doeth as He pleaseth. You see, if there was room for two gods, Satan would be there, wouldn't he? That's what he wanted. Well, he wanted to overshadow the whole thing, but we found out what happened to him. The Lord had cast him out or removed him from his given place of authority. Isaiah 45:5. It's a familiar passage, but it needs to be more familiar to us. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. This is Jehovah speaking. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. You see, Jehovah is God of gods. He is holy. He is apart from all and anyone else in being. He is God of gods. Then also in verse 17, notice that Jehovah is Lord of lords. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say about that. We could say that He is holy in His sovereignty. And He is. And He is holy in His lordship. You understand what I'm saying? He is set apart. He is one of a kind, if you will, in sovereignty and in lordship and rulership and ownership. He is one of a kind. But when I see this, I think of who the New Testament reveals to us the Lord of Lords is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's still Jehovah, but it's the person of Christ. You see, our God is Lord of Lords. He is holy in person. He is holy in being, and He is holy in person. That person, this aspect of God's glory is seen in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, is the Lord Jesus Christ holy? Is He set apart? Is He other? Oh, listen, He was holy in the womb. Actually, He was holy long before the womb, but He was holy in the womb. He was born of a virgin. Nowhere in history, nor in the present day, has there ever been another birth like His. What has there? Have you ever heard of a recorded one like His? No place. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost without the seed of a man, without a man. He was born of a virgin. What a miracle. He was holy, one of a kind in the womb. He was holy in His walk. God's Word tells us in the book of Hebrews that He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Every man, when I say man, I mean every man, woman, boy, and girl that has lived and walked upon the face of the earth from the day of Adam to the present day we live in, they were born in sin. We were born in sin. We lived in sin. We loved sin, but not Him. Not Him. He is other, you see. There was no sin in Him. He was impeccable, perfect, flawless. And He is the only one that has ever attained to that measure. The only one. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy in walk. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy in work. Let me give you some verses here. Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." There are a lot of people that came before and a lot of people that came after, but here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, He would save His people from their sins. 1 Timothy 1:15 said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Christ Jesus and Him alone in His holy work came into the world to save sinners. 1 John 4:10, "Here is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." There has never been another propitiation for the sin, for man's sin. Never. There never has been. There never will be. There's been pictures and types of that propitiation when we saw that mercy seat upon the Ark of the Covenant. But that was a picture of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is holy in work. Acts 4:12 puts it so plainly, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." What name has been given? "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, Savior, Jehovah saves, for He shall save His people from their sins." There's only one name. There's only one person who is holy in work. He stands above all else. Do you see Him by faith this morning? Your Lord, your Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. From birth into life to the cross in the grave and rising forth from the grave, the Lord Jesus Christ was and is holy. He is separated. He is apart from. He is other from all else. He is incomparable. He is. That is why all will one day bow to Him and proclaim Him alone as the Holy Lord of Lords, the Holy King of Kings. Holy in the womb, holy in the walk, holy in work. And the Bible tells us He will have an everlasting kingdom and an everlasting reign. You see, even in eternal reign, He is holy. God is holy in person, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is holy in being. And then we see also in our text from the same verse that He is holy in greatness and might. A great God, a mighty, is what it says. Deuteronomy 3:24, "O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Thy servant Thy greatness and Thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to Thy works and according to Thy might?" What's He saying? He's saying, "You're holy, Lord. You alone can do these works. You are alone in greatness. You are alone in might. You are holy." 1 Chronicles 29:11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and all and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all." He is God of gods. You see, Psalm 145:3, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." You see, He is holy in greatness. His greatness is unmeasurable, and He is holy in might. We know this by His name, which He called Himself in Revelation 1:8. He says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." I want to tell you, when he said Almighty, that meant he was holy in might. There was none with that had the might that he has. None. He is almighty. So you see, the Lord our God, Jehovah, is holy in greatness and might. He is the one creator. He is the one sustainer. He holds the earth on its axis. And he's also the one that feeds the sparrow. He is alone. He is apart from. He is other in his greatness and his might. He is God of gods. Holy in being, holy in person, holy in greatness and might. And he is also holy in his severity. Notice what it says in verse 17, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Literally, that means the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality, nor takes a bribe. God is holy in severity. Listen to a coming day and a demonstration of the severity of God. Isaiah 13:6 says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Doesn't it make sense now? If He is the Almighty, that His severity is also holy. It's like none else. Let's turn together to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Once again, a familiar passage, but once again, it's a passage that we need to see. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. This is a description of the holy severity of God. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Listen, I want to tell you something. This is the day when his severity will be known. We're living today in a day of his mercy, in a day of his grace, but there is coming a day when he will pour out his severity and pour out his wrath without mercy and without grace. Just like this here, the islands are going to flee away, the clouds are going to be rolled back, and the people will run for shelter, but they'll find none because his severity is so great and his severity is so holy. This is a description of the holy severity of God, and this severity is upon sinners because of their sin and the rebellion against Him. I know there are many in our day that would say, oh, preacher, you got to be wrong. That's not the God I know. That the God of severity, that's God, not the God I know. I've never heard of such a God. But I want to tell you, I guess they never heard of the flood in the day of Noah when all the inhabitants of the earth were destroyed by the severity of the Almighty for their sin and rebellion. Listen, when that flood came in, it wasn't just a gentle rain. The flood, the waters come up from the deep and the waters came down from the sky. God's severity, His wrath was poured out upon sin that day, and those people knew it. They were swept away in the flood, and they were destroyed by the flood. I guess they don't know about the fire that rained from heaven upon the people of Sodom and Gomorrah from God for their sin. There was a day when God destroyed that whole city. I mean, He burned it to the ground. There was nothing left of it. Save one man, the righteous Lot. Sin, grace, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound, doesn't it? I guess they don't know anything else about the lake of fire that has been prepared by God that we read about in this book. Now, I know a lot of people in our day call that the devil's hell, but listen, he don't own it. That's God's. It's a place He has prepared. And it ain't no more the devil's, other than the fact that He will reside in it when the Lord finishes His work upon this earth, when He casts Him in that lake of fire, along with the beast, and along with His children, Satan's children. Listen, that's not Satan's. People really and truly in our day, people get the idea that Satan's behind that and he's just going to be the tormentor in hell. No, he's going to be the tormented under the hand of God's severity, the hand of God's judgment, the hand of God's wrath. He'll have nothing where he can stand up in it, let alone us, let alone man, puny man. You see, God's severity is holy. That place of fire is the eternal, holy severity of God's wrath and judgment upon sinners against God. Sin against their sin against Him. There is no fierceness like God's fierceness. Even to His people, we are reminded that He is a consuming fire now. We are reminded that. There is no wrath like God's wrath. There is no judgment like God's judgment. It is holy. It is apart from. It is separated from. It is other than all else. Our text and the whole of God's Word proclaims all these things to be true about the Lord Jehovah. He is God of gods. But I don't want to stop there this morning. I want to go on because that's not all. He is holy in being. He is holy in person. He is holy in greatness and might. And He is holy in severity. But also, let's look at verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And He chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. You see, this God has chosen to love. A God of so great, of such greatness and such holiness. He was perfectly perfect within Himself. Yet He has chosen to love. And this love is a sovereign love, not a love with a respecter of persons. Not a love that looks upon the greatness or the merit or the achievements of man. If that were so, none of us would ever know anything about this love. But a love that was and is conditional. Let me ask you, is there any other love like God's love? Does man really know anything about this love in and of themselves? Not an inkling about this love in and of itself. A love that suffers all. A love that bears all things. A love that never fails in spite of the recipient. In spite of their rebellion. In spite of their hatred. In spite of their misuse and mistreatment. In spite of our sins. His love never fails. It's unconditional. You see, God loved unconditional. He loved unconditional. He loves unconditionally. And He will love unconditionally. Paul asked, what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? And the answer was, nothing. Because it is God's love. It is like no other. It is separated from. It is apart from. You see, He is holy in His love. The Word God even calls tells us that He is love. He is holy in His love. Do you know the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus? Let me tell you, if you know it, if you have been the recipient of it, you have experienced love like there is none like it. There is none like it. And it's unconditional. It had nothing to do with you. It was in spite of you. The only thing you had to do with it was by His grace received it. And that is all. His love is holy. He is holy in love. And also He is holy in mercy. Verse 18. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. He loved the stranger. We ought to know something about that. We're Gentiles today. A people that were not His people. I mean, to love and bless the people that He called His was sure and sovereign mercy. But then we see even a greater degree of His holy mercy. The holy mercy of God in which He loves strangers. He loves sinners. He loves dogs. He loves publicans and sinners. I'm talking about us when I speak of dogs. That's what the Jews thought of us. While our hands and our hearts and our bodies were sinning against Him, transgressing His laws, while we were worshiping other pagan gods before Him now, in His sight, before His eyes, yet He blessed us, His people, aliens and strangers, with divine and holy mercy. Titus 3:3, what a wonderful description this is. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." Holy, holy mercy. It's like none other. This mercy. Remember the story that the Lord told about the man who owed a debt? But the man that he owed it to, the king actually that he owed it to, had mercy on him. And then that man who owed that debt, who received that mercy, went out and someone owed him money. And he went out to that man and he went out and demanded that money. He beat that man and had him placed into prison. You see, that's the difference between holy mercy, God's mercy, and what's common with man. That's the difference. So once again, we see the holiness of God in His being, in His person, in His greatness, greatness and love and might, in His severity, in His love, and in His mercy. Holy. And lastly, from our text, we see the holiness of God from His faithfulness. Verse 21. "He is thy praise, and He is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen." That's speaking of awesome things. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, 70 people. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. You realize this nation was begun in one man, and now they were as the stars in heaven for multitude. Was that a mistake? Was that just happen chance? Was it because of the greatness of these people? No. God made that one man, Abraham, a promise, didn't He? He said, "Through your seed, a great nation. A nation that will bless all nations. That all the nations will be blessed through will be. A nation," I think He described it as, "it was great as the sands of the seashore." Or the sands of the sea. From His own loins, from His own seed, the Lord promised this to be. And here we have the fulfillment of that promise. At least the near reaching aspect of that promise and that prophecy. God was faithful to His promise, wasn't He? He was faithful. He was faithful through affliction, through trial, through tribulation, through oppression, through bondage, through the wicked hands and hearts of man. He was still faithful. And His promise saw fulfillment. I want to tell you, you want to be amazed. Go back to Abraham and begin reading there. And come all the way up to the point where these people, the children of Israel, stood at Mount Sinai. And it is absolutely amazing that all the twists and all the turns that it takes, all the sin and all the rebellion, but yet God's Word, yet God's way, His will was still accomplished. Still accomplished. We know that seed of Abraham spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, you want an example and a lesson of God's faithfulness. You go through the lineage of Christ, and you'll see at times it was down to one person, but yet God carried on that seed. He established it. He brought it through. Over and over and over again, we see His faithfulness in His Word. Is there any faithfulness like unto the faithfulness of the Lord Jehovah? No. It stands alone. It stands alone because it is the faithfulness of the God of gods and the Lord of lords, and He is holy. There is none beside Him. There's none beside Him. That is why even now the angels of heaven bow before Him and rest not day and night from their proclamation, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." May this one God of heaven and earth, this one God, the Lord Jehovah, who is holy in being and person and greatness and might and severity and love and mercy and faithfulness, oh, might He bring actively His Word to us in power this morning through His Spirit. Might we hear it. Might He give us ears to hear of how great He is, how He stands alone. Listen, we want to make gods of ourselves. In our day and time, and really in all of mankind, that's really been what it's all about. We want to make ourselves to be gods. We can do our own thing. It's our way is the best way. I know what God's Word says, but I have another way, and really it's just as good, and really it'll work just as well as God's way. No, it won't. That's a lie from Satan himself. No, it won't. He told the same stuff to Eve. And it will not work. It will only bring sin and destruction. But listen, if by His grace, if by the power of His Spirit, you can see this God, the holy God of heaven and earth, the one God of heaven and earth, if by His Spirit you will heed to His Word this morning, you will know and see the one true God, the one true and living, the one that does live in the heavens and does as He pleases. You will know and see Him by His grace, by faith, through faith this morning. I pray the Lord would impress upon us the truths that are expressed here in His Word. And I pray we will go forth from this place with these words upon our hearts and minds. The Lord Jehovah, He is God of gods. Hear Him.